for the opportunity to speak here.
Yeah, so I'll talk about line operators on S1 times R3 and the computation of the Hitchin moduli space. This talk is based on a work in progress with Yuto Ito and Masato Taki. So Ito-kun is a graduate student at Komaba University of Tokyo, and Taki-kun is a postdoc at Kyoto University. Okay, so this is the plan of this talk. So I'll give a very brief introduction, motivations. In principle, I can give a lot of nice motivation, but today I will not. Today it will take a lot of time just explaining the results. So I will be brief for the introduction. Then I will define the problem. I will explain the setup. What I'm going to compute, I'm going to explain here. And then I will give a summary of results. Basically, we will be calculating the expectation value of line operators on S1 times R3, and we will see nice interpretations of these expectation values in terms of the Hitchin moduli space and Liouville Toda field theories, things like that. So this part, summary of results. Up to summary of results, this, I think I will end up spending most of my time here. And after that, I will try to sketch the calculation of the expectation values. Then I will finish with conclusions. Okay, so let me begin with a setup. So we are interested, not setup, introduction, sorry. So in this talk, we are interested in line operators, also known as loop operators. So these are operators like Wilson loops and Toad loops. So why are we interested in these operators? Well, in the context of duality, they are sort of special because often expectation values or correlation functions of line operators are actually computable. They're calculable. A notable example is in the context of ADS-CFT correspondence. So rather early on, after ADS-CFT was discovered, people conjectured that for maximally supersymmetric Wilson loops in n equals 4 super young nails, the expectation values are given exactly by the Gaussian matrix model. So this was a conjecture. It's nice to have such a conjecture because you can do calculations exactly. And typically in duality, one can do only approximate calculations on two sides of duality, and then it's hard to compare. But in the case of a circular maximally supersymmetric Wilson loops, Gaussian matrix model, it's exact, and you can, in particular, compute the expectation value in the strong coupling limit, and then you can compare it with gravity calculation. So there are a lot of interest, and people worked a lot on these Gaussian matrix model and Wilson loops. So this conjecture remained without a proof until 2007. And in 2007, Vasily Pestun finally proved this conjecture. So he proved that expectation value of circular Wilson loops is given by the Gaussian matrix model. And his method used localization. So here supersymmetry was essential. And I'm going to use precisely his techniques in this talk. Pestun's calculation, this was one of the major inspirations or major one of the major steps in for Ardai, Gayoto, and Tachikawa to find the by now famous correspondence between four-dimensional gauge theories with n equals to 2 plus metric, and two-dimensional conformal field theories like Liouville and Toda CFT. And okay, and so in this new 4D, 2D correspondence, line operators are again important observables. So indeed, as one of the checks of the AGT correspondence was for Wilson loop. So Pastrin's calculation of course involved computation of the expectation value of Wilson line operators on S4. And the two papers constructed the two-dimensional version of such line operators. So these are now called Berlin operators. So they are two-dimensional CFT versions of line operators acting on conformables. So I will have more to say about these Berlin operators. Okay. So line operators are also interesting because they transform in a non-trivial way under SDRT. And also, line operators correspond to natural observables in quantum Tachymira space, in Chan-Simons theory. And today we'll see that line operators also appear in quantization of the Hitchin moduli space. Okay, let me now explain the setup and define the problem. So we're going to consider n equals 2 gauge theories in four dimensions. And the space-time geometry is S1 times R2. And I'll be considering this theory in the Coulomb branch. And consider various line operators and compute the expectation value. So in this talk, L will be line operator. It's general, so we can have matter. So what are line operators? The most basic example of a line operator is Wilson line operator. It is defined, and it is defined as a trace in some representation R of the gauge group of the first order exponential of the integral of the gauge field along some circle. But in this case, today I'll be focusing on S1 times R3. I want to draw a picture like this. So this is R3. Each plane is R3, and I will identify the two planes at the end of the interval. So this is S1. So I'll be placing line operators like this. Okay, and mostly I will assume that they are placed at the origin of the R3. Okay, so line operators, it is, so this is a basic Wilson operator. But today I will be focusing on a supersymmetric version of line operators. So I will add the scalar coupling, phi 0ds. N equals to supersymmetric gauge theory, so they have vector multiplets. And in each vector multiplet, we have two real scalars. So two real scalars, I will denote phi 0 and phi 9. So these are real scalars in the vector multiplet. Okay, so Wilson line operators are labeled by representation R. In other words, they are labeled by the highest weights. So they are labeled by elements of the weight lattice, which is a subset of the dual of the Cartan subalgebra. So, okay, I will denote the Cartan subalgebra by T. Okay. And, okay, Wilson operator, it corresponds to the world line of a heavy electrically charged particle with charge specified by the representation R. Okay. So that's Wilson operator. And another basic line operator is a torque operator. Just like the Wilson line is a heavy electrically charged particle, torque operator corresponds to a heavy magnetically charged particle. So it's a monopole. It's a world line of a monopole. Now, because a monopole is a soliton, the definition of a torque operator is more complicated than for the Wilson operator. So how do we define it? So the correlation function, or correlation function of a torque operator, TB, so I can insert some operators here. The correlation function is defined by a path integral, dA, and integral of some other fields, minus the action, with some boundary conditions. Okay. What's the boundary condition? The boundary condition says that the gauge field, the field strength behavior like B over, minus B over 2 times the volume form of S2 near the loop. So, okay. Let me draw the picture again. So again, I'm inserting a line operator here. And around the origin, there is an S2. That surrounds, that links the line operator. And the volume of S2, so this is the volume form on this S2. Okay, and what is B? So B is the magnetic charge of the torque operator. And it is restricted by the Dirac quantization condition. So we have various fields, and they must be single valued in the presence of this singularity. And this requires the coefficient to be in the co-weight lattice. What's the co-weight lattice? It's the dual of the root lattice. And so co-weight lattice is a subset of the Cartan subalgebra. Yeah, so B is an element of the real. Makes sense? Okay. So this is a basic definition for a torque operator. But today I'm interested in the supersymmetric version of that. So in order to preserve supersymmetry, I will also excite one of the real scalars. So actually, the real scalar that's different from the one that appeared in the Wilson operator. So phi 9, therefore behaves like d over 2x, mod 2 mod x, plus some lower order terms. Okay, so I just defined Wilson and torque operators. You can combine them. And make a dynamic operator, they are generally called Wilson torque operators. And also, so in this talk, I'd be also interested in placing several line operators like this. thing. So then this is a tau, so S1 direction, and this is now the 3 direction in R3. So we'll see that this S1 and the 3 direction, 3 axis, they both play interesting roles. Okay. So questions so far? So, yes, R3 is now at every point on S1, right? So each R3, there is the origin, and this S2 surrounds the origin. Yeah, so in four dimensions, so these line operators, they are the dimension one object, right? And in four dimensions, in order to link a curve, you need two dimensions. So we have this S2. So any S2, okay. S2 here or in S2? Yeah, any S2. Right. Okay, so let me now explain then the parameters of the problem. So I mean the expectation values of the line operators will be functions of these parameters. And these parameters of course will be related to coordinates of the Hitchin modular space. So let's see. So we are studying n equals to gate theories on S1 times R3 in the Coulomb branch. Okay. So we see that there is a Young-Wiens coupling constant and a theta angle. So these are basic. And because we are in the Coulomb branch, we have the expectation values of the two real scalars. And from the UV point of view, the expectation values are just the asymptotic values of the scalars. So I will denote them by phi 0 infinity and phi 9 infinity. We have an S1, so we can turn on an electric Wilson line. Again, so this is given by the asymptotic value of the tau component, S1 component of the gauge field. Okay, infinite in R3. Infinite R3. So magnetic Wilson line. So this is the electric Wilson line, and there is something called magnetic Wilson line. Usually, people define the magnetic Wilson line by saying that, okay, so essentially this is a three-dimensional theory, and in three dimensions, gauge field is dual to a scalar, so magnetic Wilson line is the expectation value of the scalar dual to the gauge field. That's a kind of an infrared point of view, and I need to explain how to implement that from the UV point of view. So let me explain that, and I will call the magnetic Wilson line theta, capital theta. Now, so the real scalar, two real scalars break. Well, everything breaks. Look, real scalar and the electric Wilson line, they break the gauge group to the maximal torus. Generically break to the maximal torus. Maximal torus. And if I assume that the gauge group G is simply connected, then this can be identified with the Fulton subalgebra divided by the coroute lattice. Okay. And I said phi 0 infinity and phi 9 infinity are the asymptotic values of the real scalars. But that's not entirely precise, because I should really allow the scalars to approach those asymptotic values up to conjugation. Oh, by the way, so because of the scalar potential in n equals 2 theories, phi 0 infinity and phi 9 infinity, and also a time infinity, so they are all mutually commuting, and they are all in the Cartan subalgebra. I forgot to mention. Okay. So now in this formula, the vector n is a unit vector, x divided by mod x. So they parameterize the S2 at infinity. So, okay, instead of the S2 near the origin, I'm now considering a big S2. Okay, and so G is a map from S2 to the gauge group, and then the scalars themselves, the scalars on the big S2 themselves define a map from S2 to G divided by the stabilizer, so, which is the generically the maximum torus. So topological. This means that there are topological sectors labeled by element of the second homotopy group of G over T. And because I assume that G is simply connected, this is the same as phi 1 of T, which is nothing but the co-root lattice. Okay? So in the path integral, I need to sum over these topological sectors. And these sectors are labeled by the topological charges. So V, the parameter V is a topological charge. And I define the magnetic Wilson line theta to be the chemical potential for the topological charges. So path integral now looks like sum over V in the co-root lattice, exponential of B times theta, and dA, blah, 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 e to the minus S. But scalars must satisfy asymptotic boundary conditions specified by the topological charge B. So V is the total magnetic charge of a Polyakov-Thorold monopole, smooth monopole. Magnetic Wilson line, yes. Yeah, so, okay. But this form of the path integral, it's valid when there is no Thorold operator. When there is a Thorold operator, I need to modify this. Because a Thorold operator has charge B, which is inside a co-weight lattice. And the co-weight lattice is finer than the co-root lattice. So co-root lattice is contained in the co-weight lattice. So that now, in the presence of a Thorold operator, the path integral looks like
sum over V, but now V takes values in the shifted lattice. So correlated lattice shifted by the total charge B, and then I still have IB theta, okay. BA, which is minus S, and the boundary conditions specified by B. Okay. So I explained most of the parameters, but there is still one important parameter, which I call the twist parameter. And it's going to be responsible for quantization. It'll be a quantization parameter. So let's see. So twist parameter lambda. So it's a parameter for twist along S1. So here I identified the two hyperplanes. When I went around the S1. But now I want to identify them with some rotation. Okay, so so spatial rotations and arithmetic rotation. And it's useful. It's useful to represent this by a supersymmetric index. Then I think things will be clearer. So the expectation value of a line operator in the form of a supersymmetric index takes the form of a trace in the Hilbert space, or BPS Hilbert space specified by in the presence of a line operator. Okay. And there is a fermion number. Okay. There is the usual stuff. It is minus 2 pi r times h. Okay, r is the radius of S1. H is the Hamiltonian. Then I'll also insert exponential of 2 pi I lambda J3 plus I3. Okay. So J3 is a special rotation, and I3 is an arithmetic rotation generated. Okay, and then I also introduce chemical potential for the flavor function. Is this clear? So is it clear what I'm doing? So. Okay, so trace with a fermion, number can be implemented by a path integral with periodic boundary condition, right? And then by inserting these symmetry generators, I'm identifying the fields when going around this S1 with some rotations. In this case, spatial, arithmetic, and flavor. Right, so that's right. So I want to do localization calculation. So there is a particular supersymmetry, and this supersymmetry is preserved by this combination, only by this combination. So mu is actually another parameter. Another parameter. It's a chemical potential for the flavor function. And by the way, so electric Wilson line can also be thought of as a chemical potential for the gauge, global gauge symmetry.
You're talking about only
I3 over C2,
so you're ignoring
U1.
Are you saying
U1 or C2? So U1, I think U1 rotates, mid-mix is 5, 0, and 5. So I don't do 6.
ですね。
Yeah, okay, so
we have lots of parameters, so too many parameters. But actually, fortunately, the answer, the expectation value of line operators will depend only on, depend on certain combinations. So basically, there will be just four parameters you should remember. So one is what I call A, which is, okay. So at this point, it's not terribly important what they are. They are just A, okay? So it's a complex, complex coordinate. So it takes fixed value in the holomorphic, okay, complex side Cartan subalgebra. B, okay, so A is a combination of the electric Wilson line and the scalar, right? And B is a combination of a magnetic Wilson line and another scalar. But we also see that there is a coupling constant, 1 over G squared here. So B will, so the B is like the instanton parameter, which keeps track of the non-perturbative corrections. And when there is a non-zero theta angle, A and B will mix. So this is responsible for, okay, this will be responsible for the Witten effect. Now, okay. I also define a parameter called M, which is a combination of the Frobenius Wilson line and okay, one of the real mass parameters. Okay, so in this talk, let me focus on n equals 2 star. But at the end of the calculation, everything will generalize to arbitrary n equals 2 theories. Okay, so I just finished explaining the setup and the parameters of the problem. And now I begin presenting our result. Yeah. Yeah, so only these combinations appear. So capital M is, so this is one of the mass parameters. So you see, so in n equals 2 theories, mass parameters are usually complex. And they can be thought of as expectation value of a scalar in the vector multiple that weakly gauges the flavor something. But here, only one real component appears. And this guy, it's the analog of this. So in some sense, this is the zero component of the mass parameter. So I want to give a summary of the results. And so I'm going to just write the answers for the expectation values. And these expectation values are obtained by localization. Well, the Wilson loop expectation value is trivial. So it's just given by evaluating the definition of the Wilson operator in the background. So trace in representation R of exponential 2 pi i. So what's non-trivial is the expectation value of a torque operator. First I give you the form
the answer take. So there is a sum over the coiled lattice shifted by the magnetic charge of the thought operator. But the sum is now finite because there are only contributions for asymptotic magnetic charge is smaller than the charge of the thought operator. Then there is a classical contribution which can be written as 2 pi I V times B. So remember that B contains 1 over G squared. So this summation is responsible for the non-perturbative correction, non-perturbative effect. In operation always, one needs to compute one loop determinant. And in this case, it depends on AM lambda V. And then there is a non-perturbative contribution, which we call Z mono. And it's a function of A, M, lambda, and it also depends on B and V. Okay. So this contribution, non-perturbative contribution coming from monopoles, it's computed from the equivariant index on the monopole moduli space. So this is, in fact, a monopole analog of Nekrasov partition function. And, the computation is also very similar. Yeah, so A, M, lambda, they are all equivariant parameters. So A has to do with gauge rotation. M is responsible for the flavor rotation, and lambda is related to the so spatial rotation and arithmetry. Yeah, so but everything appears in these combinations. Yeah, so in the case of an n equals 2 on R3, because there is central charge, okay, it's a little more complicated. Okay, so this is a form the expectation value of a thought operator takes. But it's a little abstract, so I'm going to give more explicit expressions. So for an example, for SU2 example. So in this case, it's known that line operators are labeled by two integers, P and Q. So P and Q are integers, and P is a magnetic charge, Q is an electric charge, and the convention is such that charge Q corresponds to spin half Q representation. So for example, the spin one half representation corresponds to L01, and it's just given by 2 pi IA of plus to the minus 2 pi IA. Okay, so here I substitute it. A minus A, B minus B. Okay. Then the thought operator expectation value which can be written as L10 is given by V2 pi IB plus V2D minus V pi IB product sign okay, so this is Tolbert operator. We can also compute. We can also compute dionic operators. Then A and B mix. Okay. We can also compute a non-minimal Tolbert operator, which I'm not going to write down. But the point is that these guys have contributions from non-perturbative effects. Okay. What's the point? So I didn't write down the explicit formula for the non-minimal Tolbert operator, but we observed something interesting. Sorry, X3. Right. So yeah, because of the supersymmetry, these guys do not depend on the position. Now, actually, so when I have two operators, actually, the answer does not depend on the relative distance either, because of supersymmetry. Only ordering matters, but the ordering will be important. Yeah. Okay. So for the non-minimal Tolbert operator, we observe that this can be written as the Moyle product of the minimal Tolbert operator. Chalk. So the Moyle product is defined by F star G A B equals okay. So this is the definition of the Moyle product. It should be familiar to some people, at least old people, old enough people. I'm old enough. So this Moyle product, it corresponds to quantization of some phase space, and so this formula corresponds to H bar equals lambda over 2 pi and a symplectic form. Okay, which I want to write the dA h dB. Okay, so this is okay observation. I'm gonna explain what that means. Now, so the reason I want to show this formula is that this expression for lambda equals zero was previously obtained by Nekrasov, Rosley, and Shatashvili. Well, in their paper, in March. In the space of A and B. In the space of A and B. But it is going to be the Hitchin modulus. Yeah, so Nekrasov, Rosley, and Shatashvili wrote down these expressions for lambda equals zero as a definition of Darboux coordinate. On the Hitchin moduli space. For the one functor torus. But in order to, really talk about this, first, I need to tell you what the Hitchin moduli space is. Well, for my purpose, it's sufficient to define the Hitchin moduli space as just a space of SL2C flat connections. The Hitchin moduli space is then parameterized by polynomials along various cycles. And then A and B, and also, M, so they can be thought of as the definition of coordinates if I identify LPQ with a classical polynomial of the flat connection. So closed curves on the one factor torus can be labeled by the same integers P and Q, they are called Dean Thurston parameters. For example, this can be gamma 1, 0. This can be gamma 0, 1. Okay, and gamma 1 comma 1 will go around in both A and 2, A and B cycles. Okay, and so the flavor parameter or mass parameter M is related to the holonomy around the puncture here. So holonomy is given by 2 pi M. E to the minus 2 pi I. Okay, so because of the work of Nekrasov, Rosley, and Shatashvili, we learned that, these parameters are, so the expectation values are a function on the Hitchin moduli space. Okay, and a few months later, Timofte and Gukov identified these parameters. So A and B as the complexification of the Fenchel-Nielsen coordinates on the Teichy-Mirra space. So Teichy-Mirra space can be thought of as the subspace of the Hitchin moduli space. Okay. So what do you have now? So for lambda equals zero, the expectation values of line operators, they generate the algebra of holomorphic functions on the Hitchin moduli space. Okay, with respect to the choice of complex structure.
algebra of functions. But for when lambda is not zero, we have a deformation of the algebra. And we can show that, okay, so we have this picture, right? So think of the three directions as time. Then we can consider ordering of operators. And as I already said, the relative distance doesn't matter. And we can show that the expectation value of the product of operators is given by the Moyer product. So the example I gave before, so the higher fourth operator, so it's an this means that the higher fourth operator is the product of two minimal fourth operators. So our claim is that the expectation values of line operators on S1 times R3 provides deformation quantization of the Hitchin moduli space. So I just said deformation quantization. So what does that mean? So in the classical limit, we have an algebra of functions, and this algebra is deformed to a non-commutative algebra. And it's given by the Moyer product. Well, usually the manifold is more non-trivial. The manifold has a non-trivial structure, and it's hard to define this kind of star product. But in our case, it's given just by the Moyer product. Okay, and the deformation quantization means that so we have an algebra of operators without a Hilbert space. We just have an algebra. So it's natural to ask if there is a Hilbert space. Then it's natural to ask if there is a Hilbert space on which the line operators naturally act on. Now, claim is that this Hilbert space is nothing but the space of conformal blocks. In Liouville and Toda conformal field theories. And we obtained this result by showing explicitly the following relation. So we checked. So the expectation value of a Wilson fourth line operators on S1 times R3 is given by the Weyl transform of the varying operators. Well, lots of names. You will Toda. So I already told you that in the AGT correspondence, the CFT version of line operators is given by something called the Varinder operator. Varinder operator is a difference operator acting on a conformal block as a difference operator. Okay, so and the conformal block is basically a function of A, just A. And the difference operator you can write as exponential of dA.
But if A and B are canonically conjugate to each other, then I can think of this as an operator involving B. And okay, what's the wire transform? So actually, so more precisely, I should call this inverse wire transform, or another name is Wigner transform. So here I have a function of A and B, so coordinate and momentum, and the Bernoulli operator corresponds to the some particular operator ordering of this function. So it's called wire transform, Wigner transform, or wire ordering. So that's the answer. Yeah, so that's why I said, okay, the natural Hilbert space is a special conformal of blocks. Okay, so I think I'll...
This relation,
yeah. I can do very generally.
Okay, then what stops you to compute answers for higher groups? Because you don't know the analog of Zerbukov. Is that what stops you?
Now computing, like, so Z-banded, Z-mono, Z-banded, non-partitive.
No, I'm asking about higher groups.
Yeah. So, if obtaining the split formulas for these functions is non-trivial for higher.
Because you don't know analog of Darboux coordinates or analog of Hitchin modular space, is that what are obstacles?
No, it's the modular space is more complicated. So, but you let this happen, okay? Okay, so I don't think I have time to explain how to calculate it, but so let me finish giving another result, which has to do with wall crossing. So Gayatomo and Naitsuke considered a very similar setup. So they also had, I guess. So they also had a supersymmetric index I wrote down. Well, almost the same. But they imposed additional non-trivial boundary conditions going around the S1. So they introduced something called a quadratic refinement, which changes the periodicity of fields depending on their electric and magnetic charges. Well, yeah, so there, Gayatomo and Naitsuke. So it looks exactly the same, but in the end, they insert something called sigma q, which in my language can be written as, okay, minus 1 W dot B plus 2F. Okay. So B is a magnetic charge and W is a weight with respect to the gauge group, and F is a flavor generator. Okay, so they consider these operators, they consider the expectation values of line operators in this setup. And by using the wall crossing formula and representing the expectation values in terms of infrared quantities, like the web of infrared line operators or for contact coordinates, they were able to compute the expectation values of line operators in terms of for contact coordinates. And they also had a quantum deformation of that. And, okay, so by doing localization and by including the quadratic refinement, we were able to reproduce some of their results. And, some of their results. And our results are consistent with their computation. Okay, so okay, so my plan was to explain how to actually do the calculation, but so today, okay, I think I just finished explaining the results, so I will finish. Okay, thanks.
You said the huge modular space is the modular space of black connection, except to see black connection. So you think only for, I mean, I see two gauge fields.
Ah, yes. Yes.
So if you go to the higher rank, it will be S, L, M, C. So I don't understand what you wrote here. And so I missed your statement. So lambda equals zero, you get that algebraic curve?
An algebra of function. So
commutative
algebra. Okay, I see. So the well product, is it bring the commutative element only in the product?
So
they
should
define the same
non-commutative
algebra, but with respect to defined
code. All right. So it's a difference only between the engineers and the flow.
Yeah.
In this case, the Liouville Bicon chart is lambda.
So lambda is B squared.
If there are no more questions, let us thank the speaker again.